Well, we're going to head back to our look behind the scenes at The Gull, the Steveston No project. And a no is a form of a drama form in Japan, a classical form, an ancient form. And Pangea Arts in Vancouver decided to put that form together with a Canadian story. And the Canadian story they've chosen is written by Daphne Marlatt. In fact, Pangea Arts asked Daphne Marlatt to write this story. Daphne Marlatt is an internationally recognized poet and novelist. She lives in Vancouver and has recently been made a member of the Order of Canada in recognition of her lifetime of distinguished service to Canadian culture. Besides the poetry, and that she's done a lot of writing about Steveston and about the fishermen and the life there. And that's what The Gull talks about, is this fishermen in Steveston who come back after the internment. This past week, I went to UBC, where a number of people from Canada, various parts of Canada, and Japan are together and have been together working on the last phases of getting this production ready. The preview is May 10th, and The Gull runs until May 14th in a special tent right outside Richmond City Hall. If you're in Vancouver, you can just get on a bus and head right out to Richmond, Number 3 Road in Richmond, and it's May 10th to 14th for that show. Your chance to see the no form and to hear this very, very local story. So when I was at UBC, I sat down with Daphne Marlatt as she was taking a break from watching rehearsals and asked her what it was like to be this close, after several years of work, to be this close to the final production.
It's really gelling now. It's so wonderful to hear them chanting next door as we're talking, because I know the rise and fall of the melodic patterns now. And then when the drummers come and they start drumming, and the kakegoi, the calls, the drummers' calls, are all put together with that, it's going to be wonderful.
Daphne, for those who don't remember what the story of the play is, can you give us a quick précis?
Yes, it's set in 1950 on the coast here. In 1949, the government lifted restrictions on the movement of Japanese Canadians. So for the first time, they could come back to the coast. And a very small number of fishermen came back in 1949. But a much larger group came back in 1950 because it was clear that it was going to work out and the union was going to accept them and so on. So this is set in 1950, and there are these two brothers who have lost their parents during the internment years, and of course their father's boat and home and everything was lost. So they have rented a boat from one of the canneries. The canneries wanted the fishermen to come back because they were known to be very good fishermen. So they've rented a boat, and they're following their father's route up the coast when a storm arises, and they go into Klemtu, which is, was known as China Hat, to tie up for shelter. And while they're there, this creature appears on the wharf, and one brother sees her as a woman, and the other brother sees her as a gull. To the first brother, she is a young woman speaking in Japanese. To the second brother, she's just a gull shrieking at them. And as the older brother listens to her, and asks her some questions about what she's doing here, it turns out she's from Mio, their mother's village. And her story is very similar to their mother's. And that's all I'm going to say about it so far.
Daphne, why did you want to tell the story in the no play form?
It was Heidi Specht of Pangea Arts who proposed this idea to me. And when she phoned me up, she wanted to know, could I write a no play about the Japanese-Canadian fishing community in Steveston? And I thought, oh, this is going to be a big challenge. But I was also very excited by it, by the prospect of it, because I had recently been to Japan and I had seen no. I've always been interested in no since I first studied it a little bit in the 1960s out here at UBC. And I thought, it's such a moving form of theater. It's so contained and stylized. And yet, if an audience just opens to the experience of hearing the singing, watching the movement, listening to the words, it can be very emotionally moving. And to write a story about the effects of the Japanese internment, the Japanese-Canadian internment, to write a story about the effects of that on the community, it seemed the perfect vehicle for that.
It was so fascinating to me to think of this, Daphne, to take sort of one thing, getting your head around writing in a very different style, and also as much as you know and have incorporated and learned and written about what happened to Japanese Canadians, and but just to really take that into your soul in order to be able to create a piece of art around that, it's quite a process.
It is, but it didn't seem a difficult process at all, and I think I've just been realizing that there was in Steveston for me when I first started going down there in the 70s, and I saw the last cannery camp. I walked through it. It had been abandoned at that point. There was such a strong sense of the impermanence and fragility of human life. Mm. Even the river itself is a symbol of what is constantly changing. And the estuary itself keeps shifting. You know, the more and more sand is deposited every year. So it was a site that taught me so much about how fragile our notion of democracy is, and also the largeness of the cycles, not only the cycle of the salmon returning, but the cycle of people's lives, people being totally uprooted and shifted 100 miles inland to an alien landscape, mm-hmm. and then gradually, bit by bit, returning. That was a big experience for me. So to put that into a no play, I mean, the no structure allows for that, the largeness of that.
You mentioned that when Heidi approached you, you thought it was going to be a challenge. How is it measured up on the challenge scale?
Oh, wow. Well, it involved a lot of learning on my end about the structure of no. It's a very, very musical structure. And Richard Emmett, the composer, has really been my dramaturg in all of this. So I had to learn the sequence, the normal sequence of musical passages, and then write according to those. And I know that classical no, the line, the poetic line, is the classical Japanese line alternating 7 and 5 syllables. And I didn't know how difficult it would be to write that in English. It actually turned out to be fairly easy. Okay. But then Rick explained to me, well, you don't have to restrict yourself too much on that side of things, because English is a... It's not a quantitative language, right. You know. It's a language of stress patterns. And to put that to no music, you have to be flexible. You know, he has to be a bit flexible. I have to be a bit flexible. So when we're sitting down together and going over actual lines, it was so interesting, because he would sometimes say to me, okay, I need one less syllable here, or I need one more syllable here. It was all this. He has been wonderful to work with, because he's done through his own No Gaku troupe, which is dedicated to bringing no to the West. He has worked a lot with English no plays, and he really understands the dynamics of putting the English language to no music. So it was fascinating to work with him.
Having learned all this and having worked through this, do you see yourself writing another one?
Heidi is sitting right across from me, raising her thumbs. I'm amazed, after all the work involved in this production, Heidi, that you really are ready to do another one. But, well, we've tossed around the idea of doing another one. It'd be nice. I don't know. I'm sort of thinking it would be nice to totally break the convention and do an all-female no play.
Daphne, great to talk to you again. All the best.
Thanks, Jill. Good to talk to you, too.
And enjoy that opening night.
I will. Thank you.